Maryland contractors are starting to worry about the possibility of deep federal budget cuts. Agencies have about 5 months to award a year's worth of contracts, putting the squeeze on contracting officers and contractors. Hope Lane is a partner at accounting and consulting firm Aronson LLC. They're in Rockville, Maryland. She was one of several hundred attendees at this year's GovConNet Procurement Conference and Expo. She joins us now live. Ms. Lane, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Amy. Thank you.
The conference itself was designed to help companies kind of network and learn more about winning federal contracts. Before we get into the nitty-gritty about this lava flow you're about to outrun, what did you learn at the conference that you think may help you now?
You know, the conference has been going on for a number of years and has been increasing in popularity and in the number of participants and experts that actually come and talk to contractors in the Maryland area. And this year, I would say the great thing that happened this year is last year, while there may have been a few more attendees, I think that more of them were commercial companies wondering whether or not they were going to enter the federal space, probably on the tail of the ARRA spending dollars that were being dangled out there. But I would say this year, the ones that were there were already the players in the marketplace. They are active in the federal space. They are seeking to make new relationships. There were a lot of large government contractors there doing one-on-one sessions with small Maryland area contractors, everyone trying to form more strategic alliances.
Now, we have the added twist of this year of having a compressed fiscal year because of how long it took Congress to pass the budget. What effect is that having on contracting and the ability to get contracts?
Well, from the contractor's perspective, and it can have a significant impact, especially to small contractors. You really have to prioritize your bid and proposal resources and maybe even gain access to others, because what normally would have been spread out over the course of 12 months is now compressed into the remaining 5 months, and you're obviously going to have overlapping solicitations that you want to pursue, but yet you have a limited number of resources because everyone's running a lean machine, especially for non-billable resources. So, you know, they're going to have to be very specific in which opportunities they decide they're going to go after, and they're going to have to dedicate the resources and maybe seek others. And it also, the compression of the procurement cycle also lent from the government's perspective, they also have limited resources. The acquisition professionals have been in a shortage for more than a decade. So they're going to also be doing the most with what they have, and so that's likely to end up in a consolidation of procurements. What might have been three smaller procurements may be consolidated into a single procurement, and in those scenarios, that scenario generally favors the larger contractors that already have the ability or the teams in place that can meet the needs of the consolidated procurement, whereas smaller organizations may not be able to satisfy the full need and would be kind of behind the eight ball trying to form a team that would be able to address the complete need.
So does that make then this time around, this year, very different from years past? Are you having to sort of throw out the rule book and do business with the federal government differently and do your job differently to make all of this work?
Well, you know, we've had compressed procurement cycles in the past. You know, a continuing resolution is nothing new for the last few years. But what I think it does, the anomaly that's happening this year, I'm afraid it's going to provide a false sense of security to government contractors that are not really following or believing the press and the information getting out about how, you know, we have this tidal wave of procurements going to happen, but on the backside of that, we have significant budget cuts that are going to have to be made in order to start to make up some of the deficit. So while they're going to be, you know, everyone's going to be trying to make the best of this cycle, I'm afraid they're going to be losing sight of how frugal they need to be on the backside when the contracting dollars really do start to dry up. I think for this current cycle, you know, people are going to be doing things creatively. government agencies may decide that instead of bidding a brand new contract, they'll actually award task orders under existing indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts that already exist. They also may closely examine contracts that already exist to see whether or not a piece of work can go under an existing contract, and they just may modify an existing contract to add additional funds and capabilities. You know, the government's going to get creative. Contractors are going to get creative. But the one thing I think contractors in particular need to be aware of is, you know, they have a long, they need to think with a longer business development strategy and focus on making a bid decision to avoid future partisan budget slashing. You can't, you know, they may decide, well, while we have three opportunities in front of us, one of those may be particularly interesting to us, but if that is a multi-year opportunity and this year it's funded, but future years may be in jeopardy because of partisanship, you know, they really need to think twice about whether or not they want to make that short-term commitment, or do they need to be pursuing something that has a longer, more bipartisan commitment.
We're speaking with Hope Lane, a partner at Aronson LLC in Rockville, Maryland. And does this difficulty fall disproportionately on small businesses, do you think?
I think it does. Small businesses don't tend to have full-time dedicated business development resources. They don't tend to have full-time dedicated contracting resources. You know, the principals in the organizations wear lots of hats. And so some part of the organization is going to suffer when you have, when they have to dedicate themselves for even a short period of time to focusing nothing but addressing the onslaught of solicitations that are going to come out. You know, you tend to have, you know, if a president of organization is working on only proposals, then what's happening to, you know, kind of the operation of the business?
You know,
and looking forward.
I'm trying to discern if this is a good thing or a bad thing. It seems, you know, like if you have all this money coming at you, that would be good, but it creates this other set of problems that maybe you hadn't thought of.
Right. I mean, it is a good thing because there's going to be a lot of dollars awarded in a fairly short period of time. That's a good thing. But you're going, there's going to be a cost to it. You're going to be dedicating resources where that normally would have been used elsewhere, so that there's going to, there's the potential for those, that, those areas to suffer. And you also, you need to be keeping track of the fact that dollars are going to decrease in the future, so you can't load up on resources particularly just for this. You know, you need to only be using temporary resources because 6 months from now, the need may not be there and the dollars to pursue may not be there. So you don't want to add to your indirect burden for the short term.
That was actually my very next question. As we wrap it up here, do these cuts that we see that are going to be coming in the federal budget, one way or another, if that is playing into your playbook, if that's part going to have to be part of your strategy?
It has to be part of your longer term strategy for government contractors to survive and thrive in the ensuing years. You know, they're going to have to be looking at the pricing strategies that they put forth even in this upcoming round of procurements. You know, they can't front load. While there's going to be a tendency to want to really price very competitively, they can't front load all of that competitive pricing in the first year because they don't know whether it will be funded in the second and third year. So you can't bet on, well, we'll price low this year to get in the door, but knowing that we're going to make it up in the out years, because the out years may not end up being funded.
Well put. Hope Lane is a partner at Aronson LLC in Rockville. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.